You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
And I just said, Lord, how do we help the one? How do I make an impact? How do you, through me, make an impact in this city? And then in Matthew 9 and 37, then he said to all his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And in the great Commission in Mark 16, 15, that we know to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't let it ever be said of me or you that the fields are ready, but there's nobody to harvest. Let it not be said of us, of this church, I'm just speaking to me, that if I'm not obedient when the field is ready, it's what happens to fruit if it's not picked? Dies. What happens to a crop if it's not harvested? It dies. So that's our job. In this time, in this season, I will tell you from Jason and I, we need seasoned veterans of the faith to put your hand to the plow.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Well, if we haven't met, my name is Brooke. I know most of you, but in case we have not met, my boys are in the room, my husband's in the room, and I'm blessed. I know a lot of you guys were at family camp last week, so I just want to give you a recap of sort of where this message came from. Pastor Nick Garza came, and he talked to us, and he said it wasn't even in his notes, and it wasn't something that he was going to be sharing, but the Holy Spirit just breathed in him, and he said, which I'm sure you guys are aware here in Oregon, people get what's called hobby farms. And they look really pretty, and they put them on Instagram, and they get little mini goats and little cute piglets and come in the house. But they really don't do anything. They don't grow anything. It's not a real working farm. They call it a hobby farm. And Pastor Nick Garza said, sometimes that's what the church is like. We look really shiny, and we look really great, but there's nothing going on the inside. And he said, I wanted to challenge this church to be a harvest farm, a working farm. And that really sparked something in me. And as I was praying this week, the Lord said, I want you to talk to our people about how to prepare the barn. So that's what I'm going to talk to you guys tonight about. And I have a few scriptures if you want to pull out your Bible app or your Bible. And Father, I just pray tonight that that I wouldn't be seen, but that your words will come forth in power. Lord, just to be an instrument in your hand. I'm humbled. Just to be obedient, that's what I want to do. In Jesus' name. Two things that make me cry, the Lord and my kids. Just so you know, nothing else makes me cry. So when I was thinking about this, you know, we've been here for 3 years, and we're going to stop saying that we're new, just so you know. Is that okay? Okay. I just want to put that out there. But have you guys ever hosted a holiday party? Jason and I actually haven't hosted a whole lot because my parents were always the ones that hosted holiday parties. And my parents have a smidge of OCD. Yeah, I know. And so my dad would wake up like a week before everybody was going to come over for a holiday, and he'd spray off the entire house outside, spray it all down. I know. I don't have that, but he did. And then he would wake up on the day before and ask us all if we wanted to wipe down. Now, he never made us. It wasn't his thing to like put it on us, because he knew that he enjoyed it. He wanted to wipe down all the baseboards, and he wanted to unscrew all of the switch plates and soak them in bleach. I don't have that, so it wasn't in me. But at my parents' house, you would prepare for holidays for weeks. And so what the Lord kept reminding me is that if we want to see a harvest of souls here, it's going to take preparation, preparation, preparation. And we're not preparing this house. We're preparing this house for what's to come. The Lord has set us in this time and place for such a time as this. You have all been sent here. We have been sent here, if you're sitting in this room, for such a time as this. In this county, in this city, in this church. And so we all have a place in the kingdom of God. The Lord brought me to the story of Joseph. And I can just recap it. We won't read the whole thing. But Joseph was loved by his fathers, but his brothers were jealous of him. So they sold him, and he ended up in Pharaoh's house. And in Genesis 41, he interprets Pharaoh's dream, if you remember. And he is placed over preparing for the famine that was to come. The three fatted sheep and then, or cows, and then the three small ones. Joseph was anointed to save in that time of the deadly famine. He saved his family and he saved his country because he was preparing. We've been preparing our natural barn. We've been raising money. We've been putting in new chairs. We've been putting in new paint and walls. We're preparing the natural barn. But God said it's time that we prepare spiritually. So I'm going to read Luke 14, if you guys want to look that up. 14:16, and we're going to talk about the great banquet. Nobody else has a regular Bible, just me. Okay. I should have brought my phone up here. It's easier. Okay, here we go. All right, 14:16. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses." We see that all in one accord in a lot of places in the Bible, but I thought it was interesting here. They all in one accord had excuses not to come to the banquet. "The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to excuse me.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I am going to test them. I ask you to be excused.' Still another, 'I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' So the servant said, came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go quickly into the streets and the lane of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you command, and still there is room.' Then the master said to his servant, 'Go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be full. For I say to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste my supper.'" Now, it has been spoken over this church multiple times that there is a great harvest coming. And if all of us in one accord make excuses, we won't be here to taste and see. And so I just wanted to challenge you guys tonight to make preparation in your heart, make preparation on your calendar, make preparation as you go to the Lord in prayer, that there is a great harvest, that we're looking and we're watching and we're waiting and we're keeping our ear to the Holy Spirit for what he's about to do. Our motto here since we've been here is that the 99 would go after the one, and that is God's heart, that all of us collectively together would just go after the one person in front of us. Today I was driving at Starbucks and there was a homeless lady and she was totally slumped over all of her stuff. And I just said, "Lord, how do we help the one? How do I reach the one? How do I make an impact through, how do you through me make an impact in this city?" And then in Matthew 9 and 37 and 38, "Then he said to all his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And in the great Commission in Mark 16:15 that we know, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. "Don't let it ever be said of me or you that the fields are ready, but there's nobody to harvest. Let it not be said of us, of this church," I'm just speaking to me, "that if I'm not obedient when the field is ready, it's... what happens to fruit if it's not picked? Dies. What happens to a crop if it's not harvested? It dies. So that's our job. In this time, in this season, I will tell you from Jason and I, we need seasoned veterans of the faith to put your hand to the plow. There are so many new people that are walking through our doors every Sunday. every Wednesday, even Sunday nights, we've seen new people. And we need people to help disciple. We need you to stand up and take somebody to lunch on a Sunday. Tell them about Jesus. They have questions about the Bible. We just met with a couple this week, and they had so many questions. She said, can we meet again? And I said, absolutely. Can we meet every week? And I said, I don't know about that, but I'll try. There are people that are hungry, that are ready. If you will just open your mouth and extend a hand. It's important for us, okay, I'm going to get to my points about how to prepare the barn, but it's important for us as God's people to steward God's most prized possession, and that's his people. That's our job. So number one, to prepare the barn, we need clean hands and a pure heart. We have to have the right heart to take care of the wounded and broken people God is going to send. In James 4 and 8, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. That's our job. Now, the Holy Spirit has his job, but we have our job. Number two, we need to tear down the walls that keep people out. And ask yourself tonight, what am I keeping up that is keeping people out? Is it pride, selfishness, anger? Am I unfriendly? Do I have poor self-esteem so I can't reach out to somebody new? What is it? In Matthew 14, 16, it says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Number three, this is the Holy Spirit's job. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4 says that. We can't, in our own might, in our own strength, go and take the harvest. It's going to take the Spirit of God. Number four, we have to set the banquet for the guests, and that's what we're doing here. You know, we're about to have VBS in a few weeks. And if we can grab those kids and give them Jesus at such a young age, they won't have to go through a lot of what we see people go through. Number five, we have to go out to the highways and the byways and compel people to come. Mark 14 and 24. If you guys don't mind coming back, I want to read you guys a story, Seth, as they play. And I've actually heard this story in a sermon, and it was really fascinating. Jensen Franklin actually wrote a book about it, and it's called Acres of Diamonds. I'm just going to read you the story and let the Holy Spirit speak to you while I share the story. I've heard it probably 7 or 8 years ago, and it has stuck with me. This is told by Russell Cromwell. There once lived a farmer in Africa who heard fascinating stories of people discovering diamond mines, vast fortunes made overnight by those who found just a few of the precious stones. Enchanted by these stories, the farmer could hardly wait to sell his own farm and begin the quest for diamonds himself. He sold his land, let his family know, and he began traveling across the continent, searching in rivers and deserts, hoping to strike it rich. But after years of fruitlessness, searching, he became poor, discouraged, and alone, and eventually, he threw himself into a river and died. Meanwhile, the man who had purchased the old farmer's land was leading an ordinary life. One day, as he was watering his animals in the stream that ran through the backyard, he noticed a strange black rock with a shiny surface. He picked it up and admired it, placing it on his mantle out of curiosity. A few days later, a visitor saw the rock, and he was stunned. He asked the new owner where he had found it, and the man casually replied, "There's plenty of them in our stream behind our house." The visitor gasped, "That rock is a diamond in the rough, one of the largest ever discovered." They began digging, and soon the farm revealed itself to be one of the richest diamond mines in the world. It was, in fact, the something mine in Africa. One of the most famous in history. The first farmer had been standing on acres of diamonds, Yet he sold his land and walked away, not realizing that the treasure was right beneath his feet. And as I read this, and as the Lord actually brought this to my memory, he said, tell the people that Grant's Pass is full of diamonds. And they might look like the bag lady that was sitting at Starbucks, but underneath all of the dust and the dirt, there's a diamond in there. And as I drove away today, the thing that Jason said always comes to my mind is that you'll never look into the eyes of somebody that Jesus doesn't love. And we're supposed to be those diamond farmers. Might get dirty sometimes, might have some dirt under our fingernails, and our knees might be dusty from chiseling away at the ground. But if we only knew what was beneath our feet, if we only knew the people that God sees and says, I wish that somebody would come and mine this field. I wish that there was a church that would step out of the box and mine the gold, the diamonds that I see in this valley. And being here for these 3 years, I've seen the diamonds. Sometimes they've come in forms of people in a really nice suit and a really nice dress with pearls on. And sometimes they come like the homeless people that stand in our lobby just to get warm or just to get cold. But it's our job to grab a pick and a fork and a bucket and a shovel and to go mine those things. If you don't mind just standing on your feet tonight. And tonight, I don't want you to pray for the person next to you, and I don't want you to pray for you. I want you to pray for them. And if you want to move about this room tonight and just begin to pray for our community, that God would show us where to find the diamond. Because it's not going to look really shiny and pretty like the ones that we wear on our hands. Will you just close your eyes for a minute? Father, I just thank you. Lord, for placing me in a community at this time. Lord, to mine for the diamonds that are in Josephine County and Jackson County, Lord. God, to find those people that are in the rough. They found themselves in some hard situations, but God, you see them and you know them by name. And so tonight I pray that you would stick boldness inside of these people tonight, God. That we would not walk past the businessman who looks in distress, and we would not walk past the young person with dark hair and dark makeup, and they're just trying to hide from what's inside. Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness to speak your words. God, that you would give us the boldness to step out of our box and speak to our coworker. God, that we would see the diamonds that you see in this city, God. Will you just begin to pray for our community? Will you just begin to ask God to give you the wisdom and the boldness for the eyes to see and the ears to hear what he wants to say, what he wants to speak, the diamonds that are just in our city. God, give us a burden for the diamonds that you see. God, give us a burden, Lord, for the little children that are going to come to BBS, and let us begin to mine for those diamonds, God. Let us see them how you see them, not dirty, not stuck in a hole, Lord God, but we want to see them as you see them, God.
Can we just take a second and lift up our hands and just, the Word of God says that if he's lifted up, he will draw all people unto himself. So, Lord, we recognize that. Recognize that it's you, that it's our job to lift your name up. Thank you. that's going to sit on us that are here. I'm a firm believer through his word, when his word says that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And I don't know about you, but I have felt his presence from the moment that worship started all the way till my wife communicating the word that the Lord gave her. Even now, I feel just a thick presence of his anointing here, because he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And so, Lord, we acknowledge and are aware of your presence in this room. We thank you that you came to meet with us on what seemingly could seem like a random Sunday night service. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're here. And so I hear the Holy Spirit echoing this word to me that I'm supposed to share with you is for a long time, many in this room have asked the question, what about me? And the question, what about me, is a sign that there's been unhealth in our lives, because when we know whose we are and where we're planted in him, the question of what about me doesn't come up. God's mind and his eyes have always been upon you, and his ears are open to every one of our prayers. If you are a son or daughter of Christ, he has eyes on you, and it's the enemy that tricks a community of believers or deceives a community of believers in thinking that God's forgot about them. And the word of the Lord to us in this room is God hasn't forgotten about us. We've always been his and will always be his. And what the enemy does is when he puts our focus on me, what about me, we lose sight on them. And so, enemy, we declare in this moment you're a liar and you've been exposed. We know whose we are and who from whom we come from. We are sons and daughters of the King. And so insecurity and church hurt and feeling overlooked or abandoned, those feelings are gone in Jesus' name. And Lord, we take the posture of modern day apostles and disciples, knowing that you're with us and you have our attention and our affection and vice versa. And Lord, we lift our eyes to the harvest field. We thank you that you've put us in position to see the greatest soul-winning moment that this county has ever seen. When it's what about me, my tears are for myself. When it's what about them, my tears are for the lost. Lord, would you touch this city? Would you touch the lost and the lonely and the bruised and the broken? During this remodel, I think I've told you guys this several times, but I feel like it's so appropriate for this moment. I had three pieces of carpet in my hand. The original that was from the 1970s, and then I had the burgundy carpet, a scrap of that, and then I had a piece of the new carpet in my hand. And the moment that I had three of them in my hand, it's like the Lord gave me a snapshot picture. And that green goldish carpet, I saw a man in a suit with tears streaming down his face saying, Lord, would you touch my city? And then that burgundy carpet, I saw a man in a suit saying, Lord, would you touch my city? And as I held that new carpet, I heard the Lord say, who's going to cry over my city now? Who's going to cry over the lost and the lonely and the bruised and the broken? Who's going to cry over the business owner? Who's going to cry over the families? Who's going to cry over the high schools and the middle schools and the elementary schools? And so, Lord, I declare in this moment, Lord, here am I. God, would you touch my city? My wife and I aren't new here anymore. We're established, and we believe that you've brought us here for a time as this to reach a community with the cause of Jesus. And we're not going anywhere, and we tell the devil, you've got to go.
Amen. That's right.
You've got to go. This is not your city. It's not your community. These are not your people. It is the harvest field that you've called us to. And so, Lord, we declare in this moment that our eyes are on you. And our eyes are on them. Our eyes are on Glendale. Our eyes are on Grants Pass and Williams and Cave Junction and Medford and Rogue River and Central Point. Father, would you touch this valley? Father, if you're looking for people that are willing to do so, we're just going to stand in the fields and say, Lord, we exalt you. I'll exalt you. I'll lift your name up when everyone else won't. We're not inviting people to a church or a program. We're inviting people to a real, alive relationship with you. Jason, I feel like I'm supposed to talk as a father and son over you, because you and I have been having some private conversations. And this really is going to be to you, but it's going to be about everybody in this room. You and I have been having this private conversation about seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We've been talking about the burden that God wants to place on your heart. And I felt like I'm supposed to just say, as your father, that I'm so proud of the young man that you are, the man of God that you're becoming, your heart to reach friends and students, family members, the people that you live life with. But I really feel like, especially for our young people, and I wish our youth pastor was here tonight, I feel like I'm supposed to challenge you and Jackson and some of these young ones, Harmony. I feel like I'm supposed to just challenge you to go into your guys' prayer closet and ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you. Because the Bible talks about the thing that switched the disciples from men that were in hiding to men and women that were on the front lines is when the Holy Spirit came on them. And it caused them to be not better versions of themselves, but it gave them the power to be a witness to the world around them. And so, man, I feel like I'm supposed to challenge our young people in this room. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if you get in your bedrooms tonight and you put on a worship song or worship music and you just begin to seek God's face, have his heart. We've apologized, I think, for far too long in the church for the thing that's actually going to transform people's lives, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we need, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe it's been a long time since you've had a fresh touch, my instruction to you as you walk out of this room is set your heart to say, Lord, I want everything from you. I want everything from you. So, Brooke, would you just lay your hands on Jason? I'm going to give you this microphone as we close. But, Jason, you're just representing the young people in our church and those that are coming. Would you just pray over Jason, the ones like him, that the Lord would begin to send a move of his baptism, the Holy Spirit, to our church?
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these young people that would come out on a Sunday night, Lord. Maybe they've been drugged here, but, God, you have a plan and you have a purpose for each one of them. And I pray, Lord God, as they go to bed tonight, that you would just begin to draw them by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that they would begin to seek you like never before. God, that you would envelop them in your power and your presence, Lord God, to let them know that there is more, that you have more for them, God. Not anything better, but just more of your power, more of your presence, Lord, more of your Spirit. We thank you, Jesus. God, that you would give them the boldness, Lord God, to speak out. God, that you would give Jace the boldness, Lord God, as the man that you've called him to be, Lord Jesus, to speak to this valley of dry bones that they would live. God, that you would give him the boldness and the determination, God, to speak to his friends. God, that you would give Jackson and Harmony, Lord God, and Gwen, Lord, that you would give them the boldness, that your power, Lord God, that would come upon them tonight, Lord God, that they would begin to seek you like never before, I pray, Lord Jesus. Lord, that your power would come and touch them individually in the name of Jesus.
Just before we leave, is anyone feeling just a word from the Lord for this moment? I don't want to pry, but I also want to give space if there's someone that feels something. Three. Here's John.
I was standing back there, and the Lord impressed upon me a question that he posed to us in the Word. And I was reflecting on that, where he asks us, do you not know, and have I not told you, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Kind of lines right up with everything that's happening tonight. Many of us don't really realize that the power of God lives in us. And it's just the access. We have access to that, and yet we refuse to believe God can use us. The Spirit lives in us. It's not us that does it, but the Spirit that lives in us is the power of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is tap in. Just say, yes, Lord, use me.
Do you not know? We say, yes, we do, Lord. I say, yes. Father, would you go with us? Would you be with us as we lay our head on that pillow? Would you be with these young people as they get ready for bed tonight, that they would be prompted just to lean into you? Father, great moves of God have often been started in small groups, in small moments just like this. And so we don't overlook a moment with your presence. And we thank you for what you did tonight. And we pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you guys. Thank you guys for being here tonight. Makes us pastor proud. We'll see you.